Hey, thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to share a message from God's Word. And I've prayed over the message, and I've asked the Lord to allow it to be biblical and relevant and, of course, practical. We want to be able to be a help to our members today and those that are listening to the message. So go ahead and grab your Bible and join me. We're getting ready to get started. God bless you.
Amen. Great job, team. Turn to somebody and just say, he won't fail. He won't fail. He just can't fail. Aren't you glad? What a great God we serve. What a great Savior we have. Well, good morning, church. Sure good to see you on this beautiful Sunday morning. Come on, smile. It's beautiful. Every Sunday is a beautiful Sunday, right? It's the best day of the week, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And we're sure glad you're here with us. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, as we read just a moment ago, I want to draw your attention there this morning, and specifically to verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16. Look where it says all Scripture. You see that? All Scripture. Does your Bible say that? All Scripture is given by what?
Inspiration
of God. All Scripture. And so today I want to do this. I want to pause from our study in the book of Galatians and talk a little bit about the Bible.
Amen.
Our Bible. We're in the midst of a special weekend for us here at Open Bible. We're celebrating our Scripture Assembly weekend, and we're going to assemble 25,000 John and Romans, part of a 40,000 assembly project that we'll utilize this year in June. June, the World Cup is coming to our great, well, not our state, it's coming over to Pennsylvania, I almost said our great state, but it's coming close, it's coming over to Philly, and we're going to participate in getting the Word of God out. We're going to try to, the ministry, not ours, but the ministry that we work with, is going to try to do 1 million John and Romans, 11 cities, World Cup will be in 11 cities, and we're going to try to get 1 million copies of John and Romans into people's hands.
Amen.
We started yesterday. Yesterday, we assembled and boxed almost 10,000 just with the group that showed up yesterday. What a great workforce yesterday. And we're going to continue that this afternoon and Wednesday night. I'll tell you more about that at the end of service. But I thought, since we're celebrating our Scripture Assembly weekend, let's talk a little bit about the Bible.
Amen.
This morning. And I hope you feel like I do. Thank God for the Bible. Man, you got a Bible? Go ahead and hold it up and just say, thank you, Lord, for the Bible. I'm so glad I have a copy of the Bible, aren't you? It's life-giving, it's life-changing, and it is, you know what we call it here? I hope you understand this statement. It is our rule for faith and practice.
Yeah.
You understand that? We talk about the Bible. We are Open Bible Baptist Church. We are a Bible, you know, believing Bible preaching, Bible promoting, Bible living church.
Amen.
It is, the Bible is our rule for faith and practice. That means this: as God's children, as Christians, we are guided by His Word, right? If the Bible says it, we believe it, and we try to do our very best to live it and promote it. And it is our rule for faith and practice here at Open Bible Baptist Church. And I'm so glad we have a Bible, aren't you? And you know, there's so much there's so much to love about the Bible, and there's so much to learn from the Bible, right? And so this morning I want to take just a little bit of time and talk to us about the Bible. You know, we first learned this. We learned the Bible is God's Word.
Amen.
It's God's Word. That's not widely, universally accepted in our world. There's a lot of people outside these doors who believe that the Bible is man's word. It's compiled by man. It might have some inspired thoughts, but that's about the best. It may contain certain bits and pieces of God's word, but that's about it. But that's not what we believe. We believe the Bible is God's word. All of it. Every word of it. From front to back. Does your Bible begin with the book of Genesis? Does it end with the book of Revelation? Do you have 64 books in between? You sure? All right. Well, then all of it is God's Word. All Scripture is inspired by God. We use this term. It's the term called plenary verbal inspiration. Did you ever see that before? Plenary verbal inspiration. How many have never seen that before? The reason I threw that up is because we need to understand these things. And when speaking about our Bible, that simply means all, every word inspired by God, right? Not just the thoughts. You know, some people believe, well, just the thoughts that are inspired by God. You know, the Word of God contains, you know, principles to live by. Well, it does, but every word of it has been touched and inspired by God. God spoke it. God gave it. You know, and we are recipients of it. Aren't you glad? There's something in bibliology called the transmission of the Bible. Did you ever hear that term? The transmission of the Bible. When you talk about the transmission of the Bible, what you're speaking about is how God got you and I a Bible. How do we get it into our hands? And it begins with inspiration. God inspires certain individuals to write exactly what He wanted written. Right? Revelation, inspiration, illumination. I pray every morning, Holy Spirit of God, teach me your word. Illuminate my mind. Help me to understand and comprehend what I'm reading so that I might put it into use. Right? That's the transmission of the Bible. But what we're talking about today is the fact that we have one. Aren't you glad you have one? We have a copy of God's Word. And so, you know, we begin to realize that first and foremost, when we study it, we begin to realize it is God's Word. And then we learn this, it's filled with instruction, the Bible. You know, there are promises in the Bible that God's made to you and I. And those promises are valid because of who made those promises. God made them. And I'm not sure how many there are. Some say there are 6,000, 7,000, 8,000. I just know this. All of them are valid because God made them. So our Bible contains promises that we learn. You got a promise that you kind of hold on to? How many of us have a promise from God? I have one. The biggest one is this. He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. That's a promise. He that believeth in me has everlasting life. That's a promise. I'm anchored into that, aren't you? And so we have promises in the Bible that we learn. And then there's principles. There's Bible principles. And a principle is a course of action designed by God that if we follow it, will lead to good success. Did you get that? Let me say it again. A Bible principle is a course of action designed by God that if we follow it, will lead us to good success. And we all want to have good success. Isn't that right? And so the Bible's filled with promises and it's filled with principle. Say with me, promises and principles. And then the Bible's filled with procedures. A procedure is simply this. It's the proper method of making progress. So God says, if you're going to make progress, you got to do it this way. You can't shortcut it. There are no shortcuts in God's economy. How many of us like shortcuts? There are no shortcuts in God's economy, right? I mean, you got to do it God's way. You got to do it God's way. And if you do it God's way, it may not always appear to be the right thing, but I guarantee it is. And it always leads to you and I being blessed by Him. And so in the Bible, when we begin to read the Bible, we first come to realize that it is God's Word. And it gives us instruction. It's filled with instruction. There's promises and principles and procedures, right? However, The more you learn the Bible, the more you understand the Bible, and the more you follow the Bible, the more you love the Bible.
Amen.
You love the Bible. I remember first getting saved, going to church, and some preachers or some people would say, "Boy, I just love the Bible. I just love the Bible." And I wanted to love the Bible, but I didn't even know what they meant by that. But here's what I come to realize. The more you understand it, the more you learn it, and the more you follow it, the more you do fall in love with it. Amen. And I think many of us would say today, we love our Bible. I love having a Bible. And the real blessing doesn't come in knowing about the Bible. The real blessing comes in knowing the Bible. Because the Bible begins to reveal to you and I all that we need to know about God. And the more that you and I get to know about God, the more we fall in love with Him.
Amen.
The more we want to serve Him and obey Him and worship Him. And enjoy Him and experience Him and please Him. Don't you agree? The more we love Him. And so my thought today is this. Since we have a Bible, now pay attention, I'm going to make a turn. Since we have the Bible, what are we supposed to do with it? That's the question today. Right? Do you have a Bible?
Yes.
Hold up, Bible. Say, I got a Bible, Pastor. I got a Bible, Preacher. So now what do you do with it? What do you do with it? And I want to make a few suggestions this morning that I hope would be a blessing to you. Very practical, but I want to take my time and be methodical. And those of us who have been around here for a long period of time, I don't want you to just, you know, they say sometimes similarity breeds contentment. So there are some basic truths that, oh man, I've heard that before, right? And you close your mind, you close your ear, you close your heart, and you're not blessed by it. So some of the things you're going to hear me say here in the next few moments, you may have heard before. You may have forgotten it, or you may be reminded of it. But I pray that it be a real blessing to you and a real challenge to you once again. So now that we have a Bible, what are we supposed to do with it? Let me give you three suggestions. First and foremost, I think this, we ought to read it.
Amen.
Yeah. Boy, that's so basic, isn't it? We ought to read it. Now let me ask you a question and look up here and put a big smile. Go ahead and smile. Go ahead. How many of you read your Bible regularly? No. I don't even want to see. I don't even want to see it. Because I don't want you to fib. Because what regular may mean for some may not be the same for others. Right? But I want you to see what the Bible has to say about that. Look at the scriptures. I put them up on the screen for you. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 11. Look what it says. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt what? Read this law before all Israel in their hearing. And so in the Bible, when you study the Bible, when you look at the word Bible, you won't find the word Bible in the Bible, but you will find reference to it. And many times when you see the word law, it's referring to the Word of God. Precepts, the Word of God. Commands, the Word of God. Over and over, you'll see references, and sometimes it just says the Word of God. You know, and that's a reference to the thing that you and I have in our hands today, the Bible, God's Word. And here, we're told way back in Deuteronomy 31:11, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Look what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. How many of you like this Bible verse? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, say it with me, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to, look at the next little word, all. All that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what kind of success? Good success. If what? If you'll take in the Word of God, if you'll meditate upon the Word of God day and night, and then do everything in your power to obey it, God will make your way prosperous. God will give you good success. And then look over, if you would, to this next Bible verse. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Here's what the Bible says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Now we can go on with this, but the idea that I'm trying to convey and the point I'm trying to make is this. Since we have a Bible, then you and I ought to read the Bible. Amen. We ought to read the Bible. And I want to make just a couple comments about that. If this may be redundant for some, but I want to say it anyway. First of all, we ought to read it regularly.
Amen.
Reading the Bible ought to be a regular habit in our lives. My first pastor, I love him to death. He's with the Lord, and he was a new pastor, first church, and we were all first generation Christians. You know what that means? It means this: we didn't grow up in Christian homes. You know, my parents and I, we all got saved at the same time, and so the church was filled with first generation Christians. We were all newbies. You know, we're all babes in Christ. And so you know what his task was? His task was to teach us, you know, the ground rules, the foundation on how to build a life in Christ. And so you know what he would often do? I mean to tell you, often he would preach messages around the importance of reading your Bible every day. I mean to tell you, he drilled that into us. Read your Bible every day. Read it every day. Go out of your way. Read it every day. Carve out some time in your life and read your Bible every day. And it worked, because I've been saved now over 40 years, and I promise you, not because I'm a pastor, I did this before I became one, I started reading my Bible every single day. You know, I just carved out some time and spent time in the Word of God. And I made it to the point where it's just part of my daily routine. If I had to get up earlier or stay up later, I did whatever I had to do in order to read the Word of God daily. And I speak that and preach that like it's just common knowledge and it's common fact and it's common experience. But here's what I know. I live in the real world, and I know many of you don't. I don't mean live in the real world. What I mean is you don't read your Bible like you should read your Bible. I know that's a fact. And as a result of that, I'll guarantee you, you struggle with things that you shouldn't struggle with if you just had a better foundation in the Word of God. And so, since we have the Bible, we ought to read the Bible. When the Bible teaches us to read the Bible regularly, consistently, you know, and I think you ought to do it in a systematic way. You know what that means? It's not random. You don't just grab your Bible in the morning or afternoon or evening and just open it up and say, well, let's see what it says here in Psalm 109. And then tomorrow, let's see what it says in 2 Kings chapter 19. No, you ought to do it systematically, to where you open up to a particular specific area. Maybe you read the book of Galatians like we're studying, or the Gospel of Matthew, or an Old Testament book like 1st or 2nd Chronicles. Huh? And you get lost in there someplace, you know, but you ought to read it systematically, chapter 1, and then don't finish till you come to Galatians chapter 6, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, and don't finish till you come to, you know, Matthew 28, and just read it consistently. And as you read it, you pray, God, Holy Spirit, please teach me something today from your word. Help something to stick. Help me to be reminded of something that is important that I need to maybe practice today. You ought to read it on a regular basis. You ought to read it every day. You ought to just make a point from this service today. I'm going to leave here today, and beginning today, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. If I got to get up 15 minutes early, and I don't mean reading your whole Bible through every day. You know, you might have just enough time to read a passage. You might have just enough time to read a chapter, two chapters, whatever. It'll grow. And I would hope many of us say this: I'm reading more today than I did yesterday or last year this time. And maybe not reading more in quantity, but reading more in quality, where I'm understanding more, where I'm now taking a word out of that verse and doing a word study, or taking a passage or taking a statement and trying to compare it, or maybe writing it on a 3x5 card and trying to apply it each day. Are you with me? What do you do with the Bible? You ought to read it. You ought to read it regularly. You ought to read it purposefully. Purposefully. And what I mean by that is this: you read it on purpose. And you're saying, Lord, help me to use this throughout the course of my day. Here's what I've often taught our people. You ought to, throughout the course of a day, consult your Bible. Meaning this, you know, you're going through life and you're living daily, and things come up and you say, you know, what was the scripture? What would the scripture say about this? You know, is there a Bible verse that, you know, would correspond? Do you ever read Matthew's Gospel chapter 4? Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 records for us the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever read it? Great passage, beginning verse number 1, on down verse 11. And what you find is this: you find that Jesus Christ, in that passage, our Savior, is coming out of a 40-day fast. Did you ever fast before? Did you ever buffet your body and eliminate food for 12 hours, 24 hours? Did you ever do that? How many have fasted before? You know, at the end of 24 hours, you can eat a horse, right? At the end of a 3-day fast, man, you can eat another person. At the end of a 40-day fast, I would be out of my mind. You know, my body would be craving ravioli and pizza and cannoli and, you know. But Jesus went through a 40-day fast, and at the end of that fast, guess what happens? The devil shows up, Satan shows up and begins to tempt him. Did you ever read it? And he tempts him 3 times with 3 different specific temptations. You know how the Lord Jesus responds each time? He responds with Scripture. But not the same Scripture. There's 3 different temptations, and the Lord responds using 3 different Scriptures. In fact, He responds with Scripture that is appropriate to the temptation. Did you get that? How did He do that? He knew the Word of God. He was the Word of God. He is the Word of God. For you and I, what we need to make sure we do is we're learning the Word of God so that when the temptations come up, we might be able to respond with the proper Scripture. Even if we have to go in and search out some Scripture. right? That's using your reading purposefully. I'm reading on purpose, and daily I'm consulting my Bible. Not only that, I think we need to consult the Bible for the help we need in our daily lives. Don't you agree? And so we ought to read the Bible daily. What do we do with it now that we have it? We ought to read it regularly, and we ought to read it purposefully. And I think this, I think we ought to read it joyfully.
Amen.
Don't you agree? Go with me to the book of Nehemiah. Can you find your way? Nehemiah, back in the Old Testament. And I want you to look at chapter number 8 with me. Nehemiah chapter number 8, please. Look what it says in verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. And Ezra. Ezra was a scribe. A scribe was an individual who's given the supreme task of overseeing the scriptures and maintaining the scriptures and reading the scriptures and protecting the scriptures. He was affiliated with the Word of God. And the Bible says, Ezra opened the book. He opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. Now, let me clarify what that means. It doesn't mean that he had higher ranking or that he was more spiritual. It just means that he was probably standing on the platform. Hello? Sounds similar?
Yep.
And Pastor Yanizzi opened up the Bible. He read the Bible before all the people. He was above all the people. That means because I'm an Italian and I'm... No, because I'm standing on a platform. You getting the idea? And so maybe that's where we get our simulation from here, you know? And look what it says. When he opened it, what happened? All the people stood up. Did you ever see a preacher get up and he'll say, hey, we're going to read this morning from 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want you all to stand with me as we read the Word of God. You know where they got that from? This text. Does it mean we have to? No, it doesn't. Does it mean it's wrong if you do? No, it doesn't. It just is preference. It's preferential. And look what happens, though, verse number 8. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, what?
Amen.
You can't even say it when it's written. And all the people answered,
amen.
Amen. And amen. You don't have to be quiet in church when you're agreeing. You know what the word amen means? You know what it means? Agree. I agree. God is good.
Amen.
Three people agree. God is so good.
Amen.
You just agreed. So the people, Ezra, the priest, the scribe, the man of God is reading the Word of God. And all of a sudden he opens it. They stand up. He begins to read it. And the people are in agreement. They're saying, amen. They're saying, man, that's good. They're saying, preach that. Oh, it's in my Bible. It's not in yours. That's what they were saying. Preach that. And look what it says. With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads. And what did they do? They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. In other words, there's great joy. They're reading the Bible joyfully. Joyfully. What do you do with the Bible now that you have it? Well, you ought to read it. You ought to read it regularly. Purposefully. And joyfully. You know, the Bible is kind of like, did you ever hear this? It's God's love letter to us. And when you read it, it's just constant reminders of how much he loves us. Years ago, I used to travel a lot. In fact, probably once or twice a month, I was out of town somewhere, Brother Tony, preaching in different churches and conferences and whatnot. And here's a practice that Mrs. Yanizzi started with me. I would pack my bag, and I'm a pretty light packer. I don't pack a lot of stuff, especially when you're traveling, preach Monday into Tuesday. I just wear the suit and pack a few items in the bag. And when I would get to my destination early on, when I would get to my destination and begin to unpack my garments, there would be a little note in there from Mrs. Yanizzi. And at first, and I opened it up, I said, wow, that's sweet. And it would be already missing you, you know, and love you. Can't wait till you get back home. And that was wonderful. And I would tuck that back in. And if I was away for maybe 3 or 4 days, I'd read it a few times. You know, if I was away just for a day, of course, I read that was wonderful. And but then I would read it for, and then that, you know, that became a habit every time I would go away. And that happened for years and years. And then the notes would get longer. It would say, already missing you, really love you a lot. Where did you leave the credit card? You know? And it was just a reminder. And spent. There were times I'd be away on mission trips for 10 days or 2 weeks. And I would read that often just as a reminder, you know, that my wife loves me and she misses me And I can't wait to get back. And as I would read that, I would always say this, and I traveled often, and those notes were, they would pile up. And I would always say this, I would read the note and I'd say, "Stink, you forgot to leave her a note." That went on for years and years and years, and you would think I'd get it. I think maybe once or twice, if I was going for a long journey, I would leave a note on her pillow. You know, remember that? Maybe once or twice. She's saying, I don't know if I remember that or not. But I bring that up because it was her reminding me of her love for me. And I would often, being away, read that note over and over. This is God's love letter to you and I. And I think we need to make it a habit to read this as often. Don't you agree? As often. And every time I read it, boy, I'm blessed by it. I'm reading through the book of Judges right now. Did you ever read through the book of Judges? Boy, I just read through chapter 19 and 20. And I mean to tell you, you might think you're watching a Netflix movie. You know, and I won't tell you what goes on in those chapters, but it's like wild. It's wild. And I'd say, how in the world can God speak to me from something that happened so long ago? But as I pray and as I read, and I always do this, I have a little running. I started chapter 1, I have running dialogue. I just make notes every chapter, and so that I can go back and see how God spoke to me. And I got to chapter number 19, which was really, oh, I'm telling you what, man. It's probably, it would be rated R. Not because of vulgarity, but because of the content, you know, of chapter number 19, where, you know, there's rape and there's murder. And I mean, it's unbelievable. But Lord, how could you speak to me from that? And if I showed you my notes because I asked the Holy Spirit to give me something for me, you'd be surprised what He can give you from that. And how He can continue to remind us of His goodness and His mercy. And as I read it, I just get the joy of the Lord. It comes all over me. Amen? It's like sunshine and 82-degree weather all the time. Praise the Lord. And so we ought to read it. They ought to read it. And then I wrote this down. We ought to heed the Bible. So what do we do with it? We have it. What do we do with it? We ought to read it. But then we ought to heed it as well. Look at Psalm 119 with me, and I wrote it out for you here. The Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How? By taking heed thereto according to what? Thy word. We ought to heed it. Verse 11, same text, Psalm 119. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so I think we ought to heed the warnings in the Bible. You know, our Bible has warnings for us. Did you ever read Psalm 1 and verse 1? Great passage of scripture. I love the Psalms, memorized a lot of them. Psalm 1 and verse, well, really Psalm 1 on down is terrific. But he says this in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man," now listen to this, "blessed is the man who walketh not." Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Right? So you know what that is? That's a warning. Here's what he's saying. Be careful. Be careful where you walk. Be careful where you sit. You know, be careful who you're with and what you do. Right? "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by a river of life that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper." But where does it begin? It begins with a warning. God loves us so much that he issues warnings, things to look out for as we live each day in our Christian lives. Do you understand that? That's so important. He warns us about this. There's a way that seems right unto a man. It seems right, but you better investigate. And you better, you know, consider whether or not it is right. And then I love what it says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 about leaning not to your own understanding. Amen. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths." Warnings. Right? So we have a Bible. Look here. We have a Bible. What should we do with it? Well, we ought to read it. And we ought to heed it. We ought to heed it. We ought to heed its warnings. We should heed the instructions in the Bible. Go to Proverbs with me, chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Look what it says there. I want you to see this. We should heed the warnings, and then we should heed the instructions. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, verse 1. And here's what he says in verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. What's he saying? He's saying this book is filled with instruction. And we ought to heed the instructions of the Word of God. You know, if you read through the Bible, if you've been alive as a Christian long enough, here's what you found. You found the Bible has instructions on everything. It's got instruction on the home. It's got instructions for moms and dads, husbands and wives, and young people and teenagers. It's all there. Foundation of the home, how to, you know, promote the home and how to build your home and how to keep your home safe. It's all in the book. And then it's got instruction on our finances. Yeah, I guarantee you this. You will not need financial advisors if you just follow the principles of the Word of God. Amen. Right? Don't bite off more than you can handle. Don't spend more than you make. Right? When you get your earnings, make sure right off the top you give to God His tithe. And I guarantee you this, when people follow biblical principles of finance, they may not be wealthy, but I guarantee you this, they're not in debt. Huh? They're living financially free. There's a difference in being financially free and financially secure. I would love to be financially secure. I am in the Lord. But I will tell you what I am. I'm financially free. I'm indebted to no man. There's nobody going to come to my house tomorrow morning and just say, get out because you haven't paid or because... No. Why? Because I follow the principles of the Word of God. I told you a few weeks back how God got my attention to tithe. Remember, I was driving the car, almost got home, blowout tire, and had the tithe in my pocket. And God said, you better give it up now, because if not, it won't be the tire, it's going to be the car. Somebody was joking with me this morning. He said, Pastor, we think snowstorms are following you around. Because you hate snow so much, God won't let you get away from it until you begin to say, I love snow. I'm going to guarantee you this right now. I'm probably going to be in a snowstorm for a long, long time. I don't like snow. I hate snow. I love sunshine. How many love sunshine? Where's all the crazies that like snow? Get out of here. Bind her hand and foot and kick her out into a snowstorm. So we ought to heed the instructions, the home. But you know what? The Bible even gives us instruction on our civil responsibilities. Amen. Huh? I mean, it's in the book. How to walk with God. It's in the book. How to walk with man. It's in the book. And so since we have a Bible, we ought to read the Bible and heed the Bible. And heeding the Bible, we ought to heed its warnings. Amen. And we ought to heed its instructions. And then I think this. I think we ought to heed the examples we find in the Bible. Did you ever notice how God gives us some real good examples on what to do, what not to do? I love reading that. I love reading some of the characters in the Bible. One fellow that always spoke to my heart, or a message that always spoke to my heart about this fellow, was a guy named Demas. Did you ever read about Demas in the New Testament? You know who Demas was? Demas at one point in time was a co-laborer of the Apostle Paul. If it were being written about me, it might say Isaac or Nathan or Tyler. They're co-laborers. They're just assistants to the Apostle. And he was with Paul. There was a time when he was on a ministry journey with Paul and Luke, and they were and then they're just doing ministry, you know, and just enjoying the work of God. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10, Paul writes these words about Demas. He says, Demas has forsaken me. Here's somebody that worked closely with the Apostle Paul. I mean, side by side in the ministry. And now the Bible says, Demas has forsaken me. And then Paul gives the reason why. Having loved this present world. You know what that means? He got trapped. Somehow he lost his focus. Somehow he got sidetracked. Somehow in his heart he began to backslide. And now here's somebody who's working in the ministry with the Apostle Paul, who now has kind of drifted away. And Paul says, he's forsaken me. We ought to heed the examples that God gives. Why would God record that in the Bible? I mean, why would we need to read that? maybe to warn us that it's a possibility for any of us. Any of us. I've been in the ministry long enough to have had some real dear friends, Preacher Riddell, who got tripped up and trapped. One fellow, one time, you know, I remember this story like it happened yesterday, got trapped in such a situation that he ended up doing 44 months in state prison. A preacher. I mean, somebody who stood behind the sacred desk and preached the Word of God, who knew the Word of God. He was an individual I took with me on mission trips. He's been on the foreign field. I mean, he's seen God work in unbelievable ways. But somewhere, listen, somewhere in his heart, he just started to slide. And I remember talking to him. I visited him in prison. And I remember saying to him, "Brother, what happened?" And I remember him saying to me, "Preacher, I started to fall on my heart long before I fell in reality." Huh? He let down his guard. He stopped, you know, living according to the principles of the Word of God. One of the main things he did was this, you know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, it talks about abstaining from all appearances of evil. He forgot about that point. He forgot about that principle. And he started to allow people to get close to him who he should have never allowed to get close to him. And before long, he was accused of something that turned out to be a reality and ended up doing 44 months. I don't care if it was 44 hours, 44 minutes. He should have never been in that position. You know why the Bible shares with us testimonies of a Demas? Just to remind us, it can happen to any of us. Stay on guard. Stay close. Don't get trapped in these things. But then you see a testimony of a Peter. Demas, somebody that strayed. Peter, somebody that stayed. The Lord said to Peter, "Hey, will you two leave me?" You know what Peter said? He said, "Lord, man, I'm not that stupid. You got the words of eternal life. Where else am I going to go?" And in the long run, even though he had his hiccup, and he did, you know what happens? Jesus gets them by the lake. They're having a little barbecue, a little cookout. They're roasting some fish. And Jesus says to Peter, hey, Pete, do you love me? "Lord, you know I love you." "Well, then get back in the game. Feed my sheep. Get back in the game. Stop sulking. Get up. Get back." And you know what Peter does? Peter not only gets back into the game, but Peter elevates to a position that, man, day of Pentecost, guess who's preaching? Not Paul, it's Pete. Huh? Guess who writes two letters that are inspired by Almighty God in the Bible? Pete. Oh, Pete. Why? Because he stayed. So God gives us these examples for you and I to learn from. We ought to heed the instruction of the Bible. Can I give you one final thing and I'll finish? We have a Bible. What do we do with it? We ought to read it. We ought to heed it. We ought to seed it. We should seed the Bible. Listen to the Scriptures. I like this passage. Dean, take this in. Psalm 68, verse 11. "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that assembled it." Published it. You know what we're doing this weekend? We're assembling Scripture. God gave the Word. We're not writing the Word. Right? Dean and Connie and Dave and Shay, they're not writing. They oversee our Berean ministry here. They're not writing the Scriptures. They're not translating them. No, we're assembling them. God gave the Word, and great was the company of those who published it. That's what we're doing. We work along with Bearing Precious Seed, who have printing presses. And they're printing out the Scriptures, and they send us to them in you know, just uncut, you know, versions. And, man, we cut them up and put them together and staple them, and now we're going to... Isn't that awesome? But then it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28, look at it. It says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And so we have the Word of God. What should we do with it? Say it with me. We ought to read it. We ought to heed it. We ought to seed it. So how do we seed it? Here's how we seed it. First, by preaching it. We seed it by preaching it. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm preaching the Word of God, and I'm just casting out seeds. Casting out seeds. There's some folks here in this auditorium who are new to the faith. I'm looking at a couple right now. They're just new to the faith. And so some of the things I'm saying right now, they may have never heard before. And so I'm casting out seeds. I'm seeding the Word of God by preaching it. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse number 6. He says, I've planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. You know, so what do we do with the Bible? We seed it by preaching it. We try to get it into the hearts of others. And then we seed it by promoting it. This is done more by our actions rather than our words. Right? We allow people to see Jesus in us. Amen. You know, a smile, a friendliness, a kindness. You know, right? Are you with me?
Yep.
And sometimes, isn't it difficult sometimes? You know, thank the Lord, my wife and I were able to get away for a few days last week, get a little bit of a respite. Went to a place that we enjoy going, a place where I pastored for several years and got the chance to see some friends. And came back on Friday, and when we got back in town, we left on Friday, Tony. The weather was rather nice. It was sunshine and blue skies. I like fair weather. I'm not a fair weather Christian, but I am a fair weather person. And got back in, we no sooner got close to, we were flying into Atlantic City, no sooner got close to it, and I saw the darkness and the gloom and the gray skies and the clouds, and I became Eeyore. And I got home and did some work and whatnot, and then I said to my wife, I'm going to go to the gym before I go crazy. And I got to the gym, and everybody was on their treadmill and behind the waves going, Eeyore, Eeyore, Eeyore. And I got home, and I said to my wife, everybody in Florida was saying, hello, how are you? Everybody here says, Eeyore, Eeyore, Eeyore. Why? Well, because we kind of live under this cloud, and it's difficult. It's difficult to be happy and joyful and kind of hopeful. And yeah, it really is. But as Christians, we must be. Right? Even when we don't want to be. Even when you don't want to say, hey, how are you? You say it anyway with a smile on your face. Right? When you want to say, isn't it miserable out here? Isn't it terrible out here? Doesn't it stink here? It's going to snow again? Bring it on, Lord. We love you. You're so good. And that was for you, my sister. He's always teasing me about snow. This is a snow crowd over here. Always teasing me. So how do we promote it? How do we seed it? We seed it by promoting it. And the best way to do that is by our actions, right? Our words. Not just preaching the gospel, but living the gospel. Did you ever hear this? I've said it before. I heard this many years ago. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. It means we ought to be living it, right? And that doesn't mean we're not supposed to give a verbal witness, but we ought to also have a life that backs it up. Don't you agree? And then finally, we can seed it by printing it, or what we're doing, assembling it, right? We're assembling the scriptures this week. We need to get the Bible to those who don't have the Bible. Are you aware of this? There's still several. I know years ago when I started the team up with Charles Keene, First Bible International, we had these numbers. You know, there were 6,000 people groups around the world, mostly in the 1040 window, who did not have a copy of the Word of God. You know, and I'm not sure what the numbers are today. We've tried to close that gap a bit, but I know there's still several, many, many, many people groups who don't have a copy of the Bible. Right? You go to my office back here, I guarantee you there's probably, I don't know how many Bibles are in there. And I've been preaching for 40 years, so a lot of those Bibles are filled with my notes. And I wear them out. I have to retire them. You know, because if I kept preaching out of them, the pages would fall out. Some of those Bibles I've sent to NARS book binding and had them rebound because I love those book Bibles. But now I can't even use them being rebound because they're so worn out. But there are places in our world where preachers don't have a Bible. Some don't even have a page. Don't have a page. Isn't it sad? And the average Christian has several copies. I mean, if you'd check between my wife and I and our gentleman alive, we could probably, you know, take care of a small nation with the amount of Bibles we have. And yet there's people that don't have not even a word in their own language. You know, there are some places, I remember when Cherith Stevens came to town, and what was the other little girl, Don, who we love? Who? Michelle Bass. Do you know Michelle Bass, Carrie? You know Cherith Stevens, right? You know Cherith. When they came to town, they started working with First Bible. They were going to, listen to this, they were going to places, God was calling these people to places where they didn't have a language. It's not like they're going to France and developing a Bible. They're going to places that don't have a language. And a couple of those places where Michelle Bass went to, they didn't even have a vocabulary. Say what? So how could you get them a printed anything if they don't have a language or a vocabulary? You got to then begin to develop a vocabulary. An alphabet. A, B, C. Remember that? They don't have that. So how do you spell a word if you don't have an alphabet? Whew, what a task. And now after 20 years, some of those places have written words because these people diligently, under the authority of Almighty God, worked to develop, you know, from sounds, you know, from phonetics. They began to work on developing an alphabet and then putting words together. And now these people have a language instead of just, you know, moans and groans and, you know, what's that mean? You got to interpret those things, right? Isn't it amazing? Because people got burdened. They got burdened for people who don't have the Word of God. We have a Bible. We have a Bible. Many of us don't read it. Many of us don't heed it. Many of us don't see it. We have the God's Word. What are we supposed to do with it? We're supposed to do something with it. And I would pray that now as we're assembling 25 to 40,000 of these little John and Romans, this book is just the book of Romans with the Romans Road in it in English and Spanish. But I'm praying, we're going to be praying not only to assemble them, but to get them into the right hands. Right? So then God could open up the minds of individuals where they might see for the very first time the Word of God in their own language. Wouldn't that be amazing to see some people getting saved through this? I guarantee you, if we get out these 40,000 and if the team gets out 1 million, there'll be some people to get saved. Amen. There's no doubt about it. There'll be some people to get saved. I don't know about you, but I love my Bible. Amen. I love my Bible. It's changed my life. Amen. It's changed my life. I'll never forget the first book in the Bible that I began to personally study. It was the book of James. And I can take you right now, if you like, I can take you to my office one by one and show you my very first study Bible. I have it under wraps. And I can open up to the book of James, and I can show you how the book of James is almost falling out of that Bible with highlights and pencil marks and little spots of tears. I can show you where God began to speak to me at a very young age as a Christian. You know, and I can go back now after, 40 years and open up that Bible. It was a gift to me, a John R. Rice reference Bible. It was a gift to me by a member of our church. And I used that until I couldn't use it anymore, though. And I can go back into that Bible right now and see how God spoke to me. The very first book in the Bible that I ever studied, the book of James. I hope you have experiences like that. Because they're rich and they're real. And if I talk about it any longer, I'm going to kind of get emotional because of what God's done in my life simply because I've submitted to His Word. Amen. I love my Bible. Amen. Let me ask you this. Do you love your Bible? Do you love it enough to read it? Do you love it enough to heed it? Do you love it enough to seed it? There's a little song. I don't know if you ever sang it here at Open Bible. It's called the B-I-B-L-A. Did you ever sing that? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
Bible.
Great truth to that, right? I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Bible. God bless you, church. I pray you'll take the Bible, read it, heed it, and seed it in your life. Let's pray, may we? Father, thank you for your Word. Thankful that we can take some time this morning and just talk about it and just inside and out. Things that we've discussed before, heard before, for some maybe the first time. Nonetheless, great reminders of the importance, the life-changing power of the Bible. This is a living book, and we're thankful for it. And I pray you'll help us to read it, help us to heed it, and help us to see it. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together.
I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached and just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.